HKX Mobile.
For DJC.
For HKX. Good afternoon, Jerry.
St. Patrick, you must be just about headed your way home by now.
One more stop, but he had bypass surgery a couple weeks ago, so he'll be just swinging in to check, see how he's doing.
Okay. Sounds like you've been pretty busy the last couple weeks. I've heard you off and on a few times during the day, but I'm not picking the repeater up real well the last few weeks. I don't know what's different about it. You're sounding fine, but every once in a while I still hear a little crackle on that. The signal doesn't seem to be quite as strong in my direction as it was maybe 3 weeks ago.
It's the same thing at my house, and I've been having problems with the tool truck. I'm actually got a temporary piece of coax run, seeing if I'm making sure that's all that's wrong with it.
700 in there, or did you change out radios?
No, I'm still running my 700.
That's a good deal, man. That's a good radio. There, there's some at the Tokyo Ham Fair. Kenwood said they were still going to be in the amateur radio business and made some comments that they would continue the product line. So maybe next year they'll come out with a new handheld. It may be a new mobile rig, hopefully. They do that, I feel a lot better about them.
Well, I'm running the 710 in the tool truck, not the 700. But basically the same radio, just got the GPS built into it.
710, that 710 is a really good radio. It's got a good screen. It'd be nice if it had a color screen on it. I think that was the next thing that people were asking about upgrading, and maybe upgrade to D74 too, but I don't want that to do first. You know, they only have... They don't have anything out there that's available right now. The only thing I see on the market is just what's left over from the V71, which is a dual-band mobile rig. And it's got a detachable panel, but it's not like the 710, where that's the only way you can, you know, push a detachable panel on. You can't attach it to the RF module. It's a good radio. The audio sounds real good. They always, you know, Kenwood's always have been known for good audio, transmit and receive.
That's what I've always heard. And, you know, Kenwood's always been a good name. That's why I was a little concerned about something happening to my radio. But it seems to be the coax that's the problem.
A lot easier solved than radio problems. Of course, there's still plenty of people that work on Kenwood, although they don't do in-house stuff anymore, but I know the Kenwood service manager pretty well, and I think there's one up in the northeast somewhere. It does good work, and that place out of over near Gainesville, Claremont, they do good work on Kenwoods too.
It's a long time before I need any work to these.
All the radios I ever had, I never had a minute's trouble out of Kenwood that I remember. The other thing that would be a problem every once in a while was the mic connector might get a little dirty. You'd have to clean the mic connector off the one that plugs into the module. You might have to clean that off with a little alcohol or something like that. Other than that, I never had a bit of trouble out of all the ones I had, and I've had a bunch of them over the years since 79. So I take it back. I did have one trip, my D74, my first one I had, did give me a problem. I think it was somebody else got in the radio before I owned it, I think, and did something, messed it up. But Kenwood made it good. They paid for the new board, which would have been about $250, so it didn't cost me anything. But that's the only one I've had in trouble with that. I think that was somebody trying to get in there, maybe doing a CAP mod on it, and didn't put it back together right. It was supposed to be a new radio, but I think so. I could tell somebody got into it before I got it. Anyway, the other one I had was great radio. I never had a bit of trouble out of it.
A couple of people about this one since I started having trouble out of it. They were telling me that the filters on them were having issues with the way the Kenwood had designed the circuit. There was an issue with it. So Well, I was concerned about that being a problem, but it doesn't seem to be.
Heard that. That's interesting. They usually, you know, they're all super heads. They're not on a ship or anything like that. But like I said, I never had an issue with mine. Of course, it would bounce around and riding around in a truck all day long either. 7 days, 6 days, 5 days a week. It doesn't make a difference. But I may have heard that, but I don't recall it. But that filter stuff is fairly, I don't think it's that difficult to repair because I think they use common filters in several of the radios of that, you know, especially, you know, it's been around a long time. And I imagine somebody gets the right stuff for them if you have a problem with it. But it doesn't sound like you have a problem with it now.
When they received that I was having a problem, transmit was great, and SWR was great, but it was cutting in and out on the receive. I mean, I completely lose the repeater altogether.
That could be the issue, but if you think it's the coax, that's by far the best situation. Because it just doesn't take much. You know, some of these coaxes, even the ones you get already made from reputable people, sometimes you just got to really test them. It can be an intermittent connection somewhere in it, or even at the radio sometimes it can be one. But, you know, generally if it transmits good, and but like I said, the repeater just hadn't sounded, it hadn't sounded 100% of health in the last, you know, 3 weeks to a month.
Receiving it as strong at the house is what I normally was. Now it's just S9. Back toward September, I was receiving it about 20 to 40 over S9. So something has happened, but I don't know what.
The SICOM is not very, it's a little stingy side, so normally it would be an S9. It was about 10 over for me, you know, 5 to 10 over for me here. But I'm not in a real good location. And of course, I'm inside as well, so that's not good either. But it's down to about between an S8, about an S8, maybe an S9 some days when the band's a little more open. As I said, that I'm not in a great location. I don't have a really perfect setup to run low power here, but it seems to work okay when it's... When the repeater's working good anyway.
Probably right now, so you're making it in no problem.
If there's none of that popping or anything on that like there was, you know, for a while there, so you sound good. It's just not as, yeah, the audio sounds good. You can hear the background, of course, driving, but the audio sounds good otherwise, and the signal's just as solid as it can be on this end. But sometimes it gets a little busy in some spots, and I think it's just the people going in the shadow of a mountain or a building or whatever, and it gets a little scratchy on one end or the other. But you know, I'm still running only 10 watts here, but that then normally 10 watts I can run on 5 pretty easily. 10s will usually get me in okay, but you know, maybe not as solid as some of the other guys do, but it just seems to work okay on 10.
This 710 on medium power, which is 15 watts, and I bet I ain't bumped it up to 50 watts a handful of times. That's generally doing something other than repeater work.
Started back in the late 70s for years, which is the most you could find a radio for me for a long time was 25 watts, and a lot of them didn't run, but you know, 10 or 15 for 25 for mobiles was a... That was a lot of power for a mobile. You could, Kenwood and the other ones, they came out 50 watt versions, I think maybe in the mid 80s, but I ran a 7950 for years in my in one of my trucks. And it was just a good solid radio. It was about as big as my mobile rig is now, though. And it was just a 2 meter only.
The only experience I got with mobile rigs is the Kenwood and my ICOM, and so far I like both of those.
Either one of those. Didn't you get your JZ 5DR?
Yeah.
Like it, it's a whole lot better radio than the 3 was. Sounds a lot better too, I think. APRS works good on it too. I think they upgraded the software at some point in time. initially when it came out, you couldn't lock that touch screen out, but now you can lock the touch screen out too, so that makes a big difference. When you go to pick it up, you gotta change your frequency to do it, or doing something weird on it. That's good. I tell you, that's a good solid radio. They're pretty well waterproof from what I can see. The batteries last pretty, you know, they got pretty good battery life on them too. Yeah, you know, I just wish the Icon 52 had APRS on it. Other than that, I like it a lot too, though.
The deciding factor for me, that and the price, that ID52, it's a little on the pricey side.
That thing was more than I paid for my D-74. It's just, you know, everything's more expensive, and it's going to be that way, I guess. Ain't it? When Kibwin comes, if they do introduce a replacement with the D-74, I bet that thing could be $800, I guess, and that's what they were selling before. I'm selling them for that last run before they completely went off the market, $799 or some ridiculous amount of money. I paid like $550 or something like that for mine. I thought that was the most money I'd ever paid for a handheld then until the 52 came out. I've been on wait list for over a year, and I said, well, what the heck, I might as well do it. Plus it had D-Star, and I'd already been set up a D-Star, so I think I did that. And I do like D-Star a little better than Fusion if you just, you know, as long as you're using a hot spot.
Been able to get D-Star working or Fusion, I've not even tried, so I couldn't tell you.
I have to hook up with you somewhere or another and help get you set up on D-Star, but I don't even know if those, I don't know if that Tryon machine is in Hendersonville machines. I'm not sure if they're working or not, to be honest with you, Patrick. I don't ever hear any traffic on them, but I can't get them from here anyway. But if I travel up that way, I'm going to see if I can't get into them, because mine's set up. You know, both these radios are set up, you know, with them already built in it, but I'll see. But I haven't talked to anybody that travels up that area that uses D-Star to see if those repeaters are still active on D-Star or not.
The one I hear the most on my ICOM is, what is it, 146-420? I believe it is, or it might be 145-420. I hear that one quite a bit.
That is, that's too far out of range for me. I'll look it up and see what it is, but they've got one over in Clemson. It's up about 10 miles from it. If I can't hit it, you can't hit it until you get almost on top of it. It's not very high. It's kind of sitting up on the hill there as you come into town at the where the radio club is. Or it may be on the building there, but it's up about 60 feet up in the air, and it's just, you know, you can hit it when you get it almost into town, but you can't. I can hit it from here if I use my air antenna on the 70 centimeter band, but I can't hit it on 2 meters. No, I couldn't hit it with, it took 50 watts to hit it with the, and even then it wasn't clear when I had my 9700, and I just don't have enough power to get into it now. Anyway, I know you're probably getting close to your destination. I'll let you go. Good talking to you. Hope you have a good rest of the day and have a safe trip home. Good talking to you, Patrick. 73, N4DJC.
Yeah, good to talk to you this afternoon. KO4 HKX, and I'll be mobile and monitoring.